Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, as we talk about these freedom-killing vaccine passport proposals that are popping up across America, most recently in Oregon. Joining me on the line now from Orlando, Florida, is Matt Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, which is doing its level best to fight against these proposals. I understand that the Oregon Health Authority updated its masking guidance on May 19th. What do they now say?
They're requiring a vaccine passport for people to not wear the mask. And vaccine passport in Oregon can be paper or digital. You can have it on your cell phone, your iPad, and you can present that wherever you go. Then you won't have to wear the mask. So they're using the mask, to wear it or not wear it, as a freedom carrot in order to coerce you into getting the COVID shots. Washington State's doing something similar with regards to capacity, for example, in churches, and they're saying that if you have the vaccine passport in Washington State, then you can increase your attendance from 25% maximum capacity to 50% maximum capacity. So if you have the entire church completely with the COVID shots and they all present the vaccine passport, then the whole church can go up to 50%. But if you have a mixed group, then you have to segregate them. Those who have the shots go to, say, the left side, and that can be filled up that side to 50% capacity. And then the others that don't have the shots without the vaccine passport, they go to the right side, and that can only be filled up to 25% capacity. So it's literally requiring segregation within the church itself.
Governor Kate Brown has implemented the statewide policy requiring proof of COVID shots, as you've indicated, not just for people entering businesses and workplaces, but churches, if they choose to be, as they say, barefaced or without masks. Does the state government have the constitutional authority to declare such a policy in the church in particular?
No, certainly not in the church, but not elsewhere as well. I mean, we've litigated for now over a year regarding these church restrictions from the COVID executive orders by these governors, and we've gone to the Supreme Court five times. We've won multiple times at the Supreme Court. We just now have a ruling against California having a statewide permanent injunction, and California has to pay $1.35 million for their unconstitutional restrictions on places of worship and churches. So this is just another one of these unconstitutional restrictions. You know, the church does not belong to Caesar. It's not under the authority of the state in that respect. The governors, the state, the government cannot micromanage individual church activities and worship. And that's exactly what it would be doing with these vaccine passports. But beyond that, outside of church, it's still illegal whether you're a church or not. Why? Because all of the COVID shots, whether they're Moderna, Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson, are under what's called the Emergency Use Authorization. The reason why it's under the EUA is because there was a declared emergency, and more particular and importantly, that there's not enough data to have mid or long-term testing, unlike the typical vaccine that takes 10 years on average to develop, 5 years of which is testing. This became in existence from beginning to end in less than 9 months. There's just not the data, and consequently, it's still in the experimental phases according to the CDC and FDA. And consequently, the federal law mandates that you cannot force anyone to take an experimental drug, and that's what these are. They're experimental drugs. You cannot mandate that on anyone. So whether that's private or public, in church or out of church, it's a violation of federal law to do so.
I want to read the specific policy that Democrat Governor Kate Brown in Oregon unveiled through the Oregon Health Authority dated May 19th. Quote, businesses, employers, and faith institutions now have the option to adjust their masking guidance to allow fully vaccinated individuals to no longer wear a mask in their establishments. Businesses, employers, and faith institutions doing so must have a policy in place to check the vaccination status of all individuals before they enter their establishment. Businesses, employers, and faith institutions who do not create such policies will maintain the same masking guidance listed below, regardless of an individual's vaccination status, end quote. So again, as you've said, Matt, they are using the carrot of being free of the mask as a way to really put pressure on people to get the vaccine who are hesitant because it's experimental or for religious reasons or fill in the blank.
Exactly. They can't do that. That's a violation of federal law. It's a violation of many of the state laws in addition to that. A number of states, like Florida, for example, are passing new laws that ban vaccine passports. But even if a state doesn't have such a law like Florida and some other states that are doing so, it's just simply a violation of the federal law. But also, when you put it inside a church, oh my goodness, for them to say that you have to check someone's health condition, their health status, whether they've gotten a particular shot, whether it's COVID or not, as a criteria to enter the church in order to determine whether you can sit on the left side in the bigger seating or the right side. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Can you imagine someone coming to the church? Maybe they're on their last moment of life. They're thinking about ending their life, and you're going to be required by the government to ask them to show their vaccine passport. And if they don't have it, perhaps the church is already filled up to 25%. You can't send them in, even though you have plenty of room on the 50% side. I mean, it's absolutely unthinkable to require this, and it's clearly unconstitutional.
On a practical level, what kind of equipment, scanning equipment, for example, if there is some kind of QR code that demonstrates the vaccination status of a given individual, would a business or a church have to purchase or rent, and from whom?
Yeah, that's a great question. They never even thought about it. How is the church going to know? How are they going to get the equipment to be able to read a QR code that says that you've had a certain vaccine? So how are you going to read it? You can put your TSA boarding ticket on your cell phone as a QR code, but who's going to read it? You've got to have somebody at the TSA gate to actually scan it and read it. So that just is absolutely absurd. In fact, I have friends in Israel. I have a friend who actually came and visited a couple of a few weeks ago, and he actually has the so-called vaccine passport on his cell phone. It's a big QR code, and he has to present it wherever he goes. He also has a tracking and tracing app on his cell phone so that the Israeli government can monitor every person he's around and then warn him to go into quarantine. And then if he leaves out of quarantine, he gets a warning to get back in quarantine. If he doesn't, then the authorities will come after him. It's absolutely unbelievable. On these vaccine passports, they predated COVID. They were in the works, in the developments, in the discussion by people such as Bill Gates and others to create this global vaccine passport. Predated COVID, had nothing to do with COVID. It was regarding all the different vaccines, whatever the vaccine of the month is. And they wanted to put this on a global scale to vaccinate everybody on the planet. And there's been technology developed towards that. Then COVID comes along and the vaccine passport gets put on steroids. So COVID is being used to really fast forward the implementation globally, certainly in the United States, but also globally, of a vaccine passport. That is, according to Naomi Wolf, and I agree with her 100%. She's an author, a Rhodes Scholar. She's politically of different persuasion than me, but she is absolutely right. She's a CEO tech, and she says this would be the end of freedom in the West, because this is not about the virus. It's about data, and it's about control.
We'll be right back with Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, on the line from Orlando, Florida, here on Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. When we come back, we'll look at what right does a governor have to issue an edict like this in the first place without legislation that is so invasive. And secondly, we'll explore in greater detail Dr. Naomi Wolf's analysis of why this is so problematic.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson. We continue now with Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, joining us from Orlando, Florida. If you'd like to learn more and find out about what your rights are as a Christian, as a pastor, as an elder, in terms of all these freedom-squelching edicts that are popping up around the country, Matt, do you have a specific place on your website where people can go on the issue of COVID tyranny?
Yeah, they can go to lc.org/vaccine, and that's dedicated just to the COVID vaccine shots, vaccine passport, etc. So it's lc.org/vaccine.
When was the vaccine passport initially envisioned? You say it predates COVID. How many years ago are we talking, and what was the vaccine at the moment? Or was it just generically envisioned?
It was generically envisioned, and you can go all the way back to some of the TED Talks and other statements from Bill Gates several years, actually 3 or 4 years before the 2019 COVID hit. He has, along with many, many others, a global vision to vaccinate everybody on the planet. So how do you do that? Well, you do it by obviously finding out who's got the particular shot or not. And we're not talking about a single vaccine. We're talking about a whole laundry list of vaccines that you would ultimately roll out across the planet. The only way to be able to do that, particularly in some countries, would be through a digital tracking device. And that digital tracking device, you know, we could easily do it in more developed countries with cell phones, cellular towers, and those kinds of electronic devices and put it on your cellular phone. But in some countries where they don't have access to cellular towers or cellular devices, you need to have it in the form of a chip. The chip idea has been as part of this development, like an implanted chip could be in between your thumb and your index finger. And there's a lot of different types of development along this area. One particular specific kind of vaccine tracking device is one in which is like a Band-Aid almost that you put on your finger. It has little microscopic kind of needles in that Band-Aid that you can't necessarily see with your naked eye, but you can under magnification. And you put it on there temporarily, and you take it off, and the vaccine then absorbs into your skin. But when you take it off, it also leaves an invisible tattoo, if you will. And that tattoo or that mark can be read by certain scanning devices. But that only is related to one particular kind of injection. And obviously the goal is to have multiple injections, and the only way to do that is through digital tracking devices. Your entire health data recorded in that digital device.
I'm reminded of Revelation 13, verse 17. No one can buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. Is this, in your view, as a Christian lawyer, the direction that we're going in? I mean, is this possibly what was predicted thousands of years ago?
You know, I can't say definitively. I can say that when I was younger and I read that, I thought, how in the world could that happen? But now what we see happening in the development of technology, it's very, very easy to see. And what this particular device would be, the digital health passport, literally will be your access to the marketplace, your access to work, to church, to public events, to restaurants, to shop, to travel. It's all there. And if you have approval, then you can have the doors open. And if you don't, then they're shut down. And that also involves monetary. I mean, you go look at what happens in China. China had this social credit digital item that they required their people to have. And it tracked different social credits, whether or not you're shopping certain things that they don't like or saying certain things that they don't care for. Then that gives you access or denial to travel in other places. And they added then COVID on top of that. So with the digital health passport, as Dr. Naomi Wolf says, they can easily add different types of items on here, including intersecting with your financial ability, your debt, and so forth. Is this it? I don't know. Can this be the way it happens? Absolutely. I think it is a real, real threat to our freedom that we would have to have some kind of digital passport that would include not only COVID shots, other kinds of vaccines, medical data. And then once you start doing that, it's just a click of the switch to add other things as well. And I think it's very, very easy to envision not being able to buy or sell. In fact, there are people advocating that now. Hmm. There's even people in Israel advocating that people who don't comply should not be able to, believe it or not, buy or sell, trade in the marketplace, transact financial. If you go to MIT's technology review, MIT has been pushing this so-called vaccine or digital health passport. And they say, you know, in a free country, it's going to be hard for people to get used to this, but this will be the price of having freedom to live in a healthy environment. And we'll just get used to it. Like, you know, we got used to post 9/11 TSA additional screening checks. I don't think so. It's much, much more of a threat.
Dr. Naomi Wolf, CEO of a tech company, says it's not about the vaccine, these vaccine passports. It's not about the virus. It's about data. And once this rolls out, you do not have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that, as you've indicated, Matt, any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all, end quote. There are a lot of our listeners who have chosen not to get the vaccine because it's experimental or because they have a religious objection to it. And there are those who choose not to wear masks into stores. And if a given store refuses to let them do business there, they do business elsewhere, or perhaps they go online. But it appears as though this vaccine passport idea, which is so freedom squelching, is really going to paint us all into a very tight corner of the room. At some point, we're going to have to walk across that paint.
Yeah, you're right. I think that there's no question about that. That's why this is so critical, because it is a serious, I can't overstate it, threat to our freedom. It's not just about COVID. It'll be here long after COVID. And once we accept this, once this becomes the norm, then there's no turning back. So we have to draw a line in the sand. What we are advocating is that we develop a state firewall of freedom, that the states end up having executive orders by the governors, but even better, state statutes that say no vaccine passports for both public as well as private. If the airlines say you can't fly, it cuts down all of your travel mobility, both domestically and abroad. It cuts down missionaries that go into foreign countries. It affects everything. And so we have to have this banned across the board, both by government and by private entities, because otherwise big companies will say you can't come in here. They have nationwide companies. You can't come in here. Or maybe we're not going to have our deliverers come to your door and deliver a Amazon Prime package unless you have the COVID shot. So, yes, we have to have it banned across the board. We have to have freedom.
The specific landing page that you need to visit is Liberty Counsel's focal point on this vaccine and on these various freedom-killing proposals around the country, like what we've seen in Oregon. The website address is LC, for Liberty Counsel, lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine. Matt, what right does a governor have to issue a given edict as if it's equivalent to a law that's been passed by both houses of the legislature and signed by the governor. I don't understand what weight, if any, these edicts have, or do people just fall in line because we're all trying to go along to get along?
That's the same problem we had from the very beginning of COVID, where they just issue these executive orders and then take away your freedom. That's still happening in many places around the country. So, I mean, that has to be challenged. And for Washington and Oregon, they're used to just saying, oh, well, whatever they print off their printer, everyone's going to fall in line and go to the same beat of the same drum. But we need to push back as people, whether you're Oregonians or Washingtonians, we need to push back and say, no, enough is enough. You can't act as a tyrant anymore, because this is forcing people to engage in an experimental shot. Some people say, why am I so involved in this? Well, one, I think it's a serious threat to freedom. Two, I think it's a serious threat to our health as well. I have a good friend who died after the second COVID shot, another friend who went to the hospital and had a heart attack. I have a husband and wife friend in Central Florida. They got the Moderna shot, and after they got the Moderna shot, both of them have now suffered, and they're still suffering severe cardiac problems as a result of this. You can't say that that's coincidence. They didn't have it before. Now they both have it. What's the difference? Well, they both got the same shots at the same time. But beyond what I know personally, there are thousands of people who are now recorded as deaths on the VAERS CDC log. There's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions. There's hundreds of miscarriages. There are concerns that Pfizer even put in its original protocol document about sterility and miscarriages and women bleeding and even transmitting the adverse reactions from a vaccinated person to an unvaccinated person. There are serious concerns, and no one should be forced, whether you've taken the shot or haven't taken the shot. People have different views on it. I have a very strong view because we do a lot of research in this area. At a minimum, we should all be on the same page and say no one should be forced, and certainly we should not have vaccine passports.
Health officials in Orange County, California announced a digital passport that, quote, enables individuals to participate safely and with peace of mind in activities that involve interactions with other people, including travel, attractions, conferences, concerts, sports, school, and more. But throngs of people protested this overreach. I've seen some of the video of that. It's incredible. And the board chairman announced, and I thought the quote was rather interesting, "We heard the noise." So Orange County will stop moving ahead in establishing any kind of digital record, any QR code, anything involving vaccination, end quote. They obviously sound annoyed and ticked off. We heard the noise.
Yeah, in fact, they did hear the noise.
But
yeah.
It underscores the importance of exactly what you've encouraged Worldview listeners to do, and that is to push back. Email, call, rally, demonstrate. In many ways, to use a term that the left loves to throw about, especially in the Trump era, resist.
Exactly. That is a prime example of resisting, pushing back. They were dead set on moving forward with this until they couldn't get any work done. In fact, the chairman says, yeah, we've heard the noise. We can't get any work done. So we unequivocally are not going to go down this road for vaccine passports. You know, the UK just came out with a statement saying they were pushing the vaccine passports. They're not going to do it. I don't know how solid they are in that position, but now they've most recently said they're not going to require vaccine passports. I hope that they stick with that. That is really why people need to speak up, because your voice can make a difference.
I want to touch on two final points. One is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and second is a final quote from Dr. Naomi Wolf. My guest is Matthew Staver. He is the chairman and founder of Liberty Council, based in Orlando, Florida. Check out that website, lc.org/vaccine. lc.org/vaccine. You note that the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's review states, quote, "This new social order will seem unthinkable to most people in so-called free countries." You quoted this in passing, "but any change can quickly become normal if people accept it." This is obviously a very left-wing base group, and they think it's, look, this is just a little blip on the radar screen. Don't get your panties in a wad.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's just one article, by the way. MIT Technology Review has a lot of these articles, and they're not articles that are just describing the issue. They're not like reporting about something. They're advocating. So this is Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Technologies Review. That's their online publication. They're really pushing this, and there's lots of different articles where they push this. What you're quoting from is an article that they wrote in April of 2020, over a year ago.
Wow.
Before we even had COVID shots. They're saying this will be the new normal. So that's where I'm talking about. April, we just had the first lockdowns and restrictions in March of 2020. And some didn't even have the lockdowns until early 2020. Already in April of 2020, they're pushing the vaccine passports. That clearly predates COVID.
One of the teams working on vaccine passports is the Vaccination Credential Initiative. As I understand it, it includes the Mayo Clinic, Microsoft, and 225 other organizations, many of which have pledged to use this QR code when administering shots. Amplify on that, if you would, in terms of how organized is the left and those that want to take our freedoms away from us, and who are they?
They are very, very organized, very well funded. The person who's the kingpin in all of this is Bill Gates. He is the fourth or fifth most wealthy person in the world. He is making lots and lots and lots of money off of vaccine and pharmaceutical companies. He is a eugenist, meaning that he is a population control person. His father was a former president of Planned Parenthood. He's had a population control agenda for many, many years. He even speaks about that with regards to a TED Talk with reducing CO2 emissions down to zero. He thinks that that is the biggest threat to the planet. And consequently, one of the ways to do that is to reduce human population by at least 10 to 15%, which is 700 million to a billion people on the planet. Point to get to zero emissions is abortion and vaccines. He's been part of this, and he has an organization, Gavi, that really sets the whole worldwide global standards on vaccines. And I'm not exaggerating that at all. It literally sets the whole worldwide standard on vaccines. It also is the one that dictates which countries are going to get which COVID shots and how many shots they're going to get. So he is coordinating a lot of this and funding a lot of this. But I can tell you what, the players that are involved will make you stagger when you see how massive this is. This is a well-financed, well-funded, well-organized global agenda that predates COVID. And COVID is now being used to literally exponentially move this agenda forward. What they're looking at is not just COVID. So when we talk about a vaccine mandate or a vaccine passport, we're thinking right now of COVID, but COVID is just one of the things that would be on this vaccine passport. It would be any kind of medical record eventually. Here's what they try to do. There's always like, well, here's the good side of this. Well, you know, you want to treat somebody in a third world country, you go there to provide some medical treatment. You don't know what these people's conditions are. So consequently, the best way to do it is for me to scan you. And then I can just, voila, know exactly what problems you have, what kind of genetic code you have, what kind of predispositions you have, what kind of meds, if you have any meds. All of it's right there, and then I can treat you. Sounds like it would be a nice thing. But now roll that out and require certain things that you have to have, particularly with a eugenics viewpoint. Population control viewpoint, where you're not created in the image of God as a special person, but you're fungible. Then you roll that out here in even the United States. We see it happening already in Washington State. Capacity restrictions in churches tied to your vaccine status, segregating tied to your vaccine status. You see Oregon, whether you can wear a mask, tied to your vaccine status and so forth. And then it's going to be whether you can travel. There were 27 airlines and 22 cruise lines all saying you can't travel unless they want to require a vaccine passport for you to travel on these airlines or cruise lines. Well, you know what? The cruise lines are running into a buzzsaw right now with Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, who said no vaccine passports in the state, and you cannot require a vaccine for people to use your venue. There's a big clash that's going on right now between Florida and some of these cruise lines have not yet started up, but they want to. And the CDC is saying, well, you can, if you get everybody vaccinated. This is a huge battle that's taking place, and it's a battle over freedom at the end of the day.
Dr. Naomi Wolf, in her article, The End of America, writes, quote, "The new biofascism in the West, very much driven by big tech leaders and soon to be exploited by our enemies geopolitically, is a war against free human beings and against the qualities that make us human," end quote. Tell me, what does she mean when she says exploited by our enemies geopolitically? How would that work?
Well, that depends upon who's in power. Now, say Naomi Wolf is somebody who we agree on this issue. Politically, she's in a different world. She was a political advisor to Clinton and Gore. But she is a protector of freedom as well. Whether she's liberal, a Democrat, or Republican, she understands the threat to freedom. Now, you get some people in office that want to close the church. Let's just put it in the context of the churches. Look at what we just went through. And they're still going through. We're still litigating these. Primarily, the worst restrictions came from governors with a pro-abortion worldview. They were really putting their heavy hand, and still are. I mean, in Maine, for example, the worst restrictions now still in the country are in Maine. We're litigating there. They don't like the church. They think it's non-essential, and they just want to shut it down. So that's your geopolitical issues. That's here happening in the country. So they say, churches, you can't go to church unless you have a vaccine passport. And then churches that let people in that don't have it, then they get hammered. Geopolitically, you're talking about travel and other kinds of things worldwide that can take place. You know, right now we're having to deal with that on worldwide travel with regards to some countries, which ones are going to be requiring, which ones are requiring the vaccine. For example, you cannot get into Israel right now. I've got Jewish friends that live in Israel. They are Israeli citizens, but they came to the United States when Israel was doing all of their just really significant lockdowns, where you couldn't even travel outside of your front yard if you had a yard. So they came here to the United States. Now they can't get back home. Why? Because they don't want to take the experimental Pfizer shot, which is what Israel is doing over there. They can't re-enter their homeland without a vaccine passport.
Dr. Naomi Wolf has created five freedoms on her website, which is dailyclout.io, and you can see the tab at the top entitled Five Freedoms. These freedoms include vaccine passport, no mask mandate, open schools now, freedom of assembly and commerce, and no emergency law. And she has a bill that you can introduce into your state's legislature through freedom-loving conservative Republican legislators. So I would encourage you to visit that website and send that link, dailyclout.io, for five freedoms to your legislator. Make them aware of language that's already been crafted on how you can protect your state, just like Governor Ron DeSantis has, the Republican governor in Florida. Finally, Matt Staver, as a Christian, what is our hope in the midst of a lot of reasons to be anxious?
Well, we always have hope. I mean, you look at Israel under the thumb of Egypt. You could have easily lost hope, but we now know that obviously God said, "Let my people go," and it happened. It wasn't easy, but it happened. And you look at Esther, she was under a death sentence, and she was under the most powerful leader on the planet. And yet the Jews survived, and the Jews today celebrate the Feast of Purim. Look at Jesus. It looked really bad on Friday when he was crucified, and then he rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. So there's always hope for the Christian. Never, ever, ever, ever give up, because God is still in control. God works incredible miracles, but he is looking to his followers, his people, to say, you know, do you want me to help you? Do you want me to intervene? We need to call upon him to ask for forgiveness, to heal our land, and to restore our freedom.
Matt Staver has been my guest, founder and chairman of Liberty Council from Orlando, Florida. Learn more at lc.org/vaccine. That's lc.org/vaccine. And if you appreciate and are grateful for the information and the passion that Matt Staver has related to us today on Generations Radio, I would encourage you to make a quick donation, $10, $20, $30. Every little bit helps. Can I get an amen, Matt?
Amen with that. Yes, and our website is very easy, lc.org.
And I hope a lot of people will do just that to help you stay on the front lines doing this very important work. I would love to get your feedback about today's show, the strange new world that we're living in, where our freedoms and liberties are restricted more and more day by day, and how we as Christians can fight back and stand strong. Email me at adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.